Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Willem Werner speaking, and I'm here together with the CFO of our group, Olaf Borkers, and Patrick Kiss, our head of IR, to present you the results of the first quarter 2016. As usual, I would like to start with the operations on page two. The like-for-like turnover of our German centers increased by 0.4%. This number is slightly lower than the 1% growth in Q1 2015. However, after a -0.2% for the full year 2015, this is a positive development. Most segments showed a moderate to good growth, especially services showed good numbers with +3.3%. Furthermore, general retail and electronics grew with 1.5% and 1% respectively, and also fashion textile showed a slight increase of 0.2%, which is nice to observe as this segment was losing out a bit for quite some quarters. On the other hand, shoes and leather goods turnover decreased by 2.7%, and it will be interesting to see the development in 2016 going forward. Abroad, our centers in Poland, Hungary, and Austria also showed a nice positive trend and came out with a plus of 2.2% in retail turnover on a like-for-like basis. For the Deutsche EuroShop Group, therefore, the overall like-for-like tenant sales moved up by 0.6%. Looking at the total tenant sales, that is not like-for-like, we saw an increase of 0.8% in Germany and 2.7% abroad. The overall result is a plus of 1% in all Deutsche EuroShop centers. We are pleased to see this overall development, but we remain cautious with our view on the fashion segment, which accounts for half of the leasable area, of our leasable area. This segment is, and as we think, will be for quite some time in a very competitive market environment, influenced by more retail space that comes to the market and a growing e-commerce. Closing on the operational aspects, we saw a stable rent-to-sales ratio of 9.2% after 9.1% at year-end 2015. Looking at customer frequency, we saw a slight lower decrease in comparison to the first quarter of 2015. We'll have to wait and see how this develops over time. Let's come to the financials and start with the P&L on page three. Looking at the results of DES, we saw the numbers coming in as planned and within a normal range of variation. Revenues were up slightly with +0.3%, and property and operating and management costs grew by 0.3 million euro or a plus of 5.8%, mainly due to higher running maintenance costs. As a result, NOI has decreased slightly by 0.3%. The other operating income decreased slightly by 0.4 million euro, mainly due to foreign exchange effects. However, also corporate costs were 0.4 million lower due to untypical high personal cost items in the first quarter of 2015. As a result, EBIT remained at a level of 44.6 million euro. To be very precise, the other change was a -0.1%. Net finance costs of now 12.3 million euro decreased mainly due to lower interest costs of 0.7 million euro. The valuation result consists of the investment cost of 1.4 million euro in the first quarter, and these are 0.9 million euro higher than last year's Q1 level. As such costs fluctuate over the year, there is, as mentioned in our calls before, not too much interpretation possible for such numbers on a quarter-by-quarter basis. However, we do not see any atypical development here. Finally, EBT was down slightly by -1.1% or 0.4 million euro, now standing at 31 million euro. With taxes of 6.1 million euro, which is the same level in last year, consolidated profit decreased by 1.8% to 24.9 million euro. Such lower numbers resulted mainly from the high investment cost, as mentioned earlier. For our key figures, which you will find on page four, that means the following. Earnings per share decreased by 2.1% from 0.47 to 0.46 per share. However, on an EPRA basis, the EPS increased from 0.48 to 0.49. FFO per share increased by 1.8% to 0.58 in Q1 after 0.57 before. Pages 5 and 6 show the calculation of the FFO and the EPRA earnings in more detail for those of you who are interested later on. Balance sheet on page 7. Let's look at our strong balance sheet. In the absence of any new acquisitions or disposals, the changes are rather limited. Total equity increased by 21.6 million euro, or 1%, whereas financial liabilities decreased by 0.3%, or 4.5 million due to regular amortization. As total assets increased by 21.7 million euro, which equals 0.6%, the equity ratio increased further to a strong 53.8%, and the LTV saw a further decrease to now 34.7%, driven by regular principal repayments and higher liquidity. The current assets increased by some 23 million euro, mainly due to such higher liquidity. All other movements were rather small. Like now come to our loan structure, which is presented on page 8. The current average interest rate of our 1.4 billion euro consolidated financial debt stands at 3.69%, while the loans have an average interest duration of 5.7 years. The loan to be closed this year and to extend it is very well negotiated so far, and we receive very good interest indications at the current low interest level. For your convenience, page 9 shows the maturity profile in more detail, and it is obvious that we'll have good potential to decrease our interest costs further over time if interest rates stay low as they are now, and we believe that will be the case. We come to the bridges now, starting on page 10. With no special effects, the bridges look still a bit flat, but let's walk through them to highlight the effects. Revenues saw an increase of 0.1 million euro, or 0.3%, from 50.6 to 50.7 million euro. This net effect is mainly due to the indexation of the base rent of the leasing contracts and some slightly lower turnover rents in comparison to Q1 2015. Let's now go through the financial results on page 11. Interest costs were 0.7 million lower than last year. As part of the financial result, the equity result increased just a little from 5.3 to now 5.4 million euro compared to the prior year, and the minority profit share was 0.2 million higher. So all in all, the net finance cost came out 0.6 million lower than in Q1 of 2015, summing now up to 12.3 million euro. On page 12, you will see that EBT moved down from down by 0.3 million euro to 31 million euro. Valuation contributed minus 1.2 million to that change, and the remainder resulted from an increase in the operating profit of 0.9 million euro or plus of 2.9%. And last but not least, on page 13, the profit bridge. Profit after tax decreased by 0.4 million euro to now 24.9 million. Here also the valuation contributed minus 1.2 million euro to the change, and the rest of the change, that is 0.8 million or 3.2%, came from the increase of the operating profit. So far the bridges. As inflation is one important input factor of our top-line growth, we have included on page 14 a recent chart showing the development of the German Consumer Price Index. As expected, a continued flat development. It will be interesting here to see what ECB can achieve here in the next quarters with its policies and measures. Coming now to page 16 and to our guidance. We are satisfied so far with the result, and we confirm our guidance for 2016 on the basis of today's information. We see revenues around 200 to 204 million euro, an EBIT between 175 and 179 million euro, and an operating profit before tax and before valuation of 127 to 130 million euro. For the FFO per share, we are confident to be in the range of 2.26-2.30, and these results should enable us to earn and propose a dividend of 1.40 euro per share for 2016. So far the numbers. Let's now take a look to the investment market. And in general, we experience that this market remains hot, but that current pricing might facilitate a decent deal flow, which we observe carefully. Currently, we are in a detailed due diligence phase for participation in a German shopping center, which fulfills our investment criteria, and this center, if we can get it, would well fit into our existing portfolio. And furthermore, for another international shopping center in Central Eastern Europe, we have recently placed a formal bid in an organized tender process. We'll have to see how far we get there, but one thing is sure, competition stays fierce. So far my presentation for the first quarter 2016, and thank you for listening. I'm happy to take your questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. First question comes from the line of Kai Klose of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I've got three quick questions. The first one, could you specify how much additional rent you can we can expect for the extension in Harburg, and when this will be a more significant amount, will already in Q2 or in Q3? The second question, could you indicate, or could you be a bit more specific about the indications you have received for new loans, what kind of spread you are being offered? The third question, the mall in Eastern Europe you have placed a bid for, is it a, would this be a new country on the map? And the last question, I was struggling a bit to reconcile the valuation loss of 1.4 million. May you could specify a bit further, and may under, in this context, have you also bought some more stakes in some of your malls already, or where does this come from? Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Let's start with Harburg. First of all, you wouldn't see it as rent because it's at equity, so it would be then improving our financial results, which is a little unfortunate that we are not that transparent, but this is because we apply IFRS and the quotal recognition of those income is not possible any longer. However, the income is roughly 1.6 million, something like that, for the full effect. That means for the full center, and we own half of it. The second was the interest quotations, and probably I hand over here to my colleague Olaf Borkers. We are currently negotiating one loan, and probably you can give a hint here.
Yeah. We are currently negotiating the loan for the Galeria Bałtycka, roughly 80 million. Euros maturing in the end of May. We are in negotiation with an already defined bank, and we expect to sign a loan agreement within the next month. And we also expect a new interest rate for the next month until we have signed a new loan agreement, an interest rate of below 1%. And the indication for the new loan, I expect to start in the third or fourth quarter 2016. The current indication for that is 1.7%. And as a reminder, the actual interest rate is 4.9%. So we'll be in a very low level regarding to this.
Thanks very much.
And yeah, the valuation loss, basically these are investment costs. So we constantly keep our centers modern and fashionable, and also according to IFRS, when you really book them at market value, all the costs you incur with keeping them preserving the value, which is not maintenance, are valuation losses in the form of investment costs. And at the end of the year, if your portfolio develops nicely, they are booked against the appreciation of the valuation gain that you hopefully have at the end of the year. So if you would do that quarter by quarter, you wouldn't see those valuation losses. There are no real losses. And then your last question, I think, was whether this would be a new country. Yes, it is a new country, but I've mentioned it before, and it's a very stable and good country.
Okay, thank you. And last question on these investments you did into your portfolio. Was there any specific measurement or any specific larger measurement to reconcile these costs or these valuation loss?
No. If you would divide that by 19 shopping centers, more or less that, like that, it's not such a big amount. It's 100,000 here, it's 200,000 there. So there's nothing unusual. Let's say there's nothing really big, and you ask whether we bought some shares, and this would probably relate to the losses. No, we didn't buy any other shares that we would have to revalue. Yeah.
Right. Thanks so much.
Next question comes from the line of Thomas Oessler of BHF Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I just have a question regarding the overall market in Germany. How do you see the current developments, new projects, and the pricing in this environment? Thank you.
We saw last year, I think the number was 12 new shopping centers in Germany coming to the market, but we have other projects coming to the market which are not shopping centers, like factory outlet centers. And it's a visible increase in retail spaces provided to the market. We were well positioned with our shopping centers, so you shouldn't be afraid. But however, if the overall pie is not increasing dramatically, the new supply takes part of it or takes a share of it. And this is what we saw last year. I just read recently that the expectation is that only 4 new shopping centers will be opened this year in Germany. So one thing is, I mean, all the last white spots probably have been detected before and are now being closed, but I think it's a pretty saturated market, so any new shopping center that comes gives new supply and a little pressure on the rents, depending where your own shopping centers are. So we're not over concerned, but there's a good supply. I hope that answers the question. Pricing-wise, please correct me if I'm wrong. I understand what you think is the net initial yield development.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have seen a substantial decrease last year. In our bids, we feel that this goes even a little bit further, probably not with the same speed, but you don't know it. It's not very a very transparent market. But if you talk to the firms like Jones Lang or CBRE, there's still a decrease in the net initial yield observable. Yeah, and as we place our bids or negotiate with sellers, we feel that the market is becoming even a little more expensive. But I think it's also the common market knowledge or know-how that's observable.
Thank you. Perfect.
Next question comes in line of Georg Kanders of Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Kanders, please go ahead.
Sorry. I've only one questionnaire left regarding what is the competition situation in the two acquisition plans you are in. Are there, for example, more than 5 parties interested in this in one shopping center, or is the situation better?
I think in the one situation, we are in a very small circle of potential interested parties. So that's where we are already in due diligence process. But this is a rare and special situation. Yeah, we're talking about a participation and that we would acquire. So half of a center, of a big center, but still half of it. And there it is a little better. The other one, I would say, probably, don't know, 20, 30, 40 bidders in a line. It's an international auction, and I would expect anybody, because it's a nice shopping center, anybody that invests in shopping center would line up. That's what I meant with my sentence, competition stays fierce.
Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Next question comes to line of Manuel Martin of Oddo. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. One question only regarding the Eastern European Center. Could you give us maybe an indication or feeling of the yields which could be probably paid for a center like that?
I kind of wouldn't do it here on the phone because I can just tell you what the top yield last year, net initial yield in that country was around 5%. That was last year. But I would like also to know from all the other bidders what they would think where the market is. So I can't comment on that.
All right, thank you.
But if we get it, and it's a very long way and it will be very tough competition, you will find it in our annual report in very detail. So afterwards, you will know.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
As a reminder, that's star followed by one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Jochen Rotenbacher of Equinet Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I have actually two. One is on your financing strategy. I got the impression that the weighted majority of fixed interest period, which is currently 5.7 years, has slightly declined over the years. So what is your target there, and wouldn't it make sense to have longer weighted majority of fixed interest periods now, given the low interest rate environment? This is the first one. And the second one, let's stick to this one.
Okay. Mr. Rotenbacher, Olaf Borges here, yes. Your observation is right. It has decreased in the last year, but that's mainly due to the reason that we haven't refinanced a lot of loans in the last years. So you will see in the coming years that the average maturity will go up. Our minimum is, as a strategy, defined 15 years ago with minimum five years. So we currently stand at 5.7 years with the extension or with the new agreement of the Galeria Bartička loan. We will go up, and as you can see on slide, I think it was slide 9 and 10, we will negotiate a lot of loans in the next years, and then we will see this average maturity will even go up strongly in the next years. We will still feel happy with 10 years interest fixings. You also ask for 15 years, but not every bank is able and willing to do so. You can see in our presentation that we have agreed for the City Arcade Klagenfurt with a 15 years interest period. That is what we like, especially for the reason that 15 years is not as much expensive than just 10 years.
Okay, and my second question was or is on the financing of your potential acquisitions. As I understood, the center in Germany would be possible without a capital increase, I think. Is that still correct? And the Eastern European center, I think, then would need a capital increase. Is this assumption correct?
Yes, it is. The participation, our LTV is rather low, would finance with given means or a little debt, but no equity. And the other one is a very big one. Yes, we would have to tap the market there.
You know that we have this credit line of 150 million euros, which is available for such acquisitions.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Next question is from line of André Remke of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. It's only one question. You mentioned that the investment in Germany will be a participation. Will it be exactly 50%? And do you know the other investor, or are there several parties? And on the long run, is there any possibility or idea or option or whatever to increase the stake later on?
Yeah, it is 50%. First question. Second, we, of course, look deeply into who's investing, and these are reliable partners, because you don't want to end up in trouble on the investors level or shareholders level if you have to take good or important decisions for your shopping center. So they would be good partners. If they would sell, hard to say. I wouldn't expect it. We would try it as we do it with all the participations we have, but I would assume for the time being that it would be a participation of 50% only.
And you will be the largest investor, so the other 50% is split among different investors?
It's a group that is coordinated, put it that way.
Okay. And does this also apply to the center you mentioned for Eastern, or in Eastern Europe?
No, we would go for 100%.
And this is a large one you mentioned?
Yeah.
Okay. And then in general, what do you think to have stakes below 100%? In recent years, the former CEO always told us that, of course, you are striving for 100% to have no trouble with other co-investors. Is it only a matter of the current market environment, or it's a general trend that such investments will be split by more investors?
No, as we mentioned before, always, we have to be very opportunistic. And if a good shopping center comes to a market at only 50%, and if the investment partners, we know them, are good people, yeah, good investors you can work with, the concern is not there, which was mentioned here from the former CEO. But I would have the same concern. If we wouldn't like those partners, we wouldn't touch it. Yeah, you don't want to have trouble on that end. I don't know whether this comes now from the market development and the fierce competition there. I wouldn't say so. We usually go for 100%. If we can't get it, we would go up to 50%. Only with good partners, we wouldn't go below. I couldn't imagine to go for below 50%.
Okay, that's from my side. Thanks.
Next question is from the line of Kai Klose at Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry, just a very quick follow-up regarding Galeria Baltica, where you're currently talking for the extension of the existing loan. Could you give us an update how the conversations with the other parties are going regarding the extension of the shopping center? And is there any new to talk about?
You mean the building permit process?
Yes.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, we had a good development in the first quarter, but I think we mentioned that in the last call already, that we received the environmental permit for the relocation or for some preparatory works. I wouldn't bother you with too much details, but it's a very long process with very many steps, so I don't want to do micromanagement here. It's still a long way, but we have now achieved a very important prerequisite now to go for the building permit for the center itself.
And but you have not started talks for the financing of the potential extension?
No, we did, but I hand it over to Olaf. Yeah.
Yes, we start for sure. Currently we are negotiating loan of 138 million euros. That's partly the refinancing of the existing loan. And that is, that's 80 million, as you can see in the presentation. And it's roughly 58 million euros debt financing for the extension.
All right.
We'll sign a loan agreement for the whole amount, and then end of the year 2017 we'll decide whether we take it or not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Super. Many thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Jochen Rotenbacher of Equinet Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thank you. A quick follow-up on your potential acquisition in Germany, this 50%. Will this then be fully consolidated or at equity?
Unfortunately, at equity.
Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to pass back to Mr. Wellner for any closing comments.
Yeah, thank you for listening. I wish you a very nice long weekend with a lot of sun, and hear you then latest in the half-year call coming up in 3 months. Thank you.